I often say that this culture is insane, by which I mean out of touch with physical reality. And here's another example of that, that there was a big kerfluffle in the world of midwifery the last couple of weeks, a big conflict, because the Midwives Alliance of North America, which has the, given what it is, the unfortunate acronym of MANA, MANA, has come out and been talking about how they're no longer allowed to say that women get pregnant. And the probably most important midwife of the last 50 years, Ina Mae Gaskin, who's been described the mother of authentic midwifery, she got in trouble for saying that males don't give birth. And this is how crazy this culture has become, that a midwives association no longer can talk about the reality of biology or the reality that human females are the sex that give birth and males don't give birth. And this all has to do with the pushing of the transgender ideology into this culture. It's once again just really nuts to say that you cannot say. In fact, I said this last week that the same thing that Ina Mae Gaskin did, that human males don't give birth, and I asked the people at MANA to name one male human who has ever given birth. And I was told that this was hate speech and was banned from their website for asking that. And that's not really my point of this whole discussion. That's the introduction to something that those who adhere to and who promote the transgender ideology have said to me, is they have sort of taken on this sorrowful tone and said, gosh, Derek, you're on the wrong side of history with this one, and you want to be on the right side of history. And the implication is that this is the role of history, the sort of rolling forward momentum of history is going to carry us to some place where my perspective will be looked upon as bad or wrong or bigoted, the notion that human males don't give birth. And this was meant as an insult and a chiding, but it didn't really have the effect that the person clearly wanted, because I would much rather be, if I have to make a choice, I would rather be on the wrong side of history and the right side of biology and the right side of reality. And the truth is that on almost every issue, I am on the wrong side of history, because history itself consists of the destruction of the natural world and the conversion of reality into our make-believe reality. I remember when I was, even in junior high and high school, when we would learn history, I was always really upset at the term prehistory, that basically almost all of human existence would be dismissed as prehistory, which would be covered in a day at most in history classes, and then they would jump to history, which was the beginning of really the history of civilization. And that seemed really dismissive to me and seemed wrong. But I realized many, many years later that that's actually accurate, that there wasn't really history prior to 8 or 10,000 years ago, because history really is a measure of change. And sure, there was personal history, and there's always personal history. I have a personal history of, you know, I was in junior high, and then I was in high school, and I was a high jumper. And then over the years, I lost the ability to high jump. And then I did whatever I did in my 20s. And then I became friends with this person, and I lost that friendship. And my grandmother died. And, you know, that's what history is how things pass, how things change. And when you have the Talawa, for example, living here for 12,500 years without destroying the place, yes, they have personal histories. And yes, they would have a social history of, oh, four generations ago, we were in conflict with these people over here. And then we made peace and we are no longer at war with the people over there. And so there is that history, but there isn't the same sort of movement, consistent movement of history of the consistent, you know, I've said this elsewhere, but when we think of Iraq is the first thing that we think of, cedar forests so thick the sunlight never touched the ground. That was the beginning of history, was the destruction of those forests and the conversion of those forests into cities. And then that movement, that expansion across the globe of this notion that everything should be how, this conversion of the natural into the artificial has been, that is the movement of history. And you know, I've been railing against increased technologization of our lives. Hell, I was writing against what technology does to us before the existence of Facebook, before the existence of cell phones. And cell phones are, my mom just told me last night that there are, I don't remember the numbers, this huge number of people are going to die every year from brain cancer because of cell phones. That's the movement of history, is the movement. What I'm trying to say is that, well, I want to back up a second. And last summer, I read 13 Moons by Charles Frazier. And it's a novel about a character who lives through the 19th century in North Carolina. And what I found most moving about the book was the character's relationship to the land. And so often land is merely background to everything that happens in a story. It's the stage set. But in this case, the land base really is, I think that the main story of the book is not the love story between the man and the woman. I think the main story of the book is the love story between the protagonist and the land. And as he's dying of old age, he's reflecting on his life and he's thinking, you know, life consists much of loss. And through our lives, we lose, you know, every day we are a step closer to death, and we lose our parents, and then we lose friends, we lose lovers. Some of us, not me, because I don't have children, but some people lose children. You lose people as you get older and older, and then you die, and that's to be expected. That's what happens. That is the lot of every being who lives. That's the lot of every tree. That's the lot of every caterpillar. It's the lot of everyone. But he says what we don't, we did not, most of our existence, we have not had to lose everything we love. We have not had to lose our entire land base. And that is not something that's supposed to happen. So he puts this in 19th century North Carolina, just after the bison. It starts with the buffalo are gone and the wolves are gone. And then as the book goes on, everybody else disappears too. Great forests are turned into logs that are sent east on railroad trains that have been brought in. It starts with a wilderness and it ends with cars. And he says, we're not supposed to live that way. That is the march of history. So yes, on the transgender issue, I am on the wrong side of history. On technology, I'm on the wrong side of history. On developing natural resources, I'm on the wrong side of history. On the belief that the natural world is more important than this economic system, I am on the wrong side of history. I'm on the wrong side of history on essentially every single issue that I fight. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. What that means is I'm on the right side of biology, I'm on the right side of reality, and I am always on the side of reality.